You sit in your lounge eating your takeaway pizza and, you know, you see the pictures. You don't smell the smells. There's no sanitation. You've got to remember it's on the coast of the English Channel. What you don't feel when you see these pictures on telly is the cutting wind that comes from off the coast through the camp, because it's literally on the coast. You don't see the squelching mud that comes over the boots. You don't see the squalor. You don't see the hungry children. The media tends to have led us down the path of young men trying to get on trucks and trains. So what I wanted to start doing is to show the human side of these children who are living in these camps. I couldn't get it out of my head that they were all happy. And I must have met, I don't know, in excess of 2,000 refugees. I don't know how many shelters I bought with the donated money that I got, plus my own money that I put in. But on every single occasion, I asked them, why are you smiling? Why are you playing football? Why are you happy? And I started doing that on purpose. And in every single case, the answers were no war, no militia. Now, the militia are either what's going on in Darfur or the Taliban, or no bombs, in their own kind of broken English. Because they're all intelligent people. I mean, I met doctors, teachers. You know, these are not sort of like stupid people. I'd got to know Brew, and Brew's 4 years old, is the little Afghan girl in question, and her father quite well. And what I'd done, I'd developed a building team of Sudanese boys. So I taught them to build my design so I could build more, which gave me enough time to play things like hide and seek and blind man's bluff and with Brew and other children. And, you know, trying sort of like, to be fair, I was having fun myself playing hide and seek and whatever. On a night time, what we'd do, there was a chef that was in my building, in the building gang, and he used to cook the most amazing food. And at night time, we'd sit down, probably about 10 o'clock at night, and it got to about 10:30 at night, and I was going back for the ferry, and little Brew had kind of fallen asleep on my knee. And you know when a young child kind of turns over and snuggles in and gets warm, and you know that's she's going to go back to her tent in a minute, and I'm thinking about carrying her back to her tent. And her family lived 5 miles from me in Leeds. It was a very spur-of-the-moment thing, and I gave in. I gave in. I couldn't do it. I would rather her be sleeping in her bed with her family in Leeds, and no one would have known anything about Rob Lawrie, the ex-soldier. However, what it has created is a platform that I didn't desire nor want, but it has created a global platform. From the USA to Australia. So I've decided now I am going back there in a week or so, but I've also decided to use the platform, to say, look, this is what's going on. This is a human side. These children from, I mean, I met a four-day-old child living in the jungle, a four-day-old child whose mother had been separated from her husband or by traffickers to get there. I mean, it's just, these stories are inconceivable. You know, it used to be illegal for black people to sit next to white people in the 1950s and 60s in the USA. We now look back at that in an almost laughable manner. You know, how on earth was that happening? It was against the law for black people to sit next to white people. I mean, how stupid is that? And I will guarantee this. In the future, we will look back at these times and say, how the hell did we allow children to live in these conditions with the same laughable sense of that was so wrong as we look back at the black people sitting next to white people on buses in America? Because it is so wrong. I can see it's so wrong now. In the future, everyone will see it's so wrong. But right now, we do have a split from left wing to right wing, and both are very vocal. And we're doing a collection here at Black Country Radio to go out. We're going to go to Dunkirk this time, first camp, because if anyone can go onto the Support Rob Lawrie page, Facebook page, this is what someone set up for me. There's real-time videos and pictures of what Dunkirk is like at the moment. And when I say, imagine a four-day thunderstorm over Glastonbury, cross that with a Mumbai tip, you've got Dunkirk. You've never seen anything like it. When I first went to Dunkirk, there was about 400 refugees there. There's about 3,500 there now. the conditions they live in, there's absolutely zero sanitation, zero infrastructure. And the trouble is, Dunkirk goes down in history books up to now as being the place on this planet where the free world destroyed the evil of Hitler. But unfortunately, Dunkirk is now writing its own history as the place where it turned down and turned their backs on people in real need, i.e. the refugees. The first time I went down for one journey. Put my pound in the thing. I'll go down, drop a few tents off, come back. If you want to get involved in this country, you are at the start of a chain that has real meaning to people at the other end of the chain. It goes from here and it goes to the camp, usually within 24 hours, and it's getting dished out to the right people within 24 hours. It's not like when, although putting a pound in a collection in a pub is nice, or you lose change, it's gone. You don't even think about it. But when you do something here, when you drop something off at Black Country Radio, like a sleeping bag, that sleeping bag will be getting slept in within 24 hours and keeping someone warm. So it's a real change. If you ever go to the camp, prepare to have your life changed forever. I got a phone call a few weeks ago. Do I want to come see this Alex guy sing a song in a shopping centre in Bolton? I thought, yeah, that'd be nice. It's not far from me. It's about an hour's drive. I'll go along. And I met him. And it was all a bit surreal, really. Oh, he's only a young lad, 18. How you doing? Yeah, lovely. And he got his guitar, started singing a song, not this song. I thought, well, he's got a good voice, he has. You know, he's strumming away, and what a brilliant song that was. And then he come up to me afterwards and said, you know, I've been following your story, and, you know, I'm really sort of, like, happy it all turned out well for you. Could I write a song for you? And I casually said, yeah, whatever, mate, yeah, you crack on. The next morning, I got a SoundCloud sent to me. He'd written a song overnight, and it was called Home Sweet Home. And I kid you not, I sat down and listened to it. And even now, I had goose pimples going down me. And he'd been up. He said, oh, I wrote it last night for you. And then when I saw the video, I just felt humbled that someone had felt passionate enough to write a song. Someone with so much talent has produced a fantastic piece of music and set it to a brilliant video. So I feel humbled, privileged, and so proud to know Alex now, because I kind of left that Bolton shopping centre thinking, yeah, he's a nice kid, 18 years old. But you know what? He's got off his backside, and he did what he does best, and he really has produced a fantastic bit of work here.